Hello and welcome back. Now we're going to talk about accounts receivable. Under the accrual basis, a merchandising company that extends credit records revenue when it makes a sale because at this time it has earned and realized the revenue. The company has earned the revenue because it has completed the seller's part of the sales contract by delivering the goods. The company has realized the revenue because it has received the customer's promise to pay in exchange for the goods. This promise to pay by the customer is an accounts receivable to the seller. Accounts receivable are amounts that customers owe a company for goods sold and services rendered on the account. Frequently, these receivables resulting from credit sales of goods and services are called trade receivables. When a company sells goods on account, customers do not sign formal written promises to pay, but they agree to abide by the company's customary credit terms. However, customers may sign a sales invoice to acknowledge the purchase of goods. Payment terms for sales on account typically run from 30 to 60 days. Companies usually do not charge interest on amounts owed, except on some past due amounts. Because customers do not always keep their promises to pay, companies must provide for these uncollectible accounts in their records. Companies use two methods for handling uncollectible accounts. The allowance method provides in advance for uncollectible accounts, or the direct write-off method recognizes bad accounts as an expense at the point when judged to be uncollectible and is the required method for federal income tax purposes. However, since the allowance method represents the accrual basis of accounting and is the accepted method to record uncollectible accounts for financial accounting purposes, we only discuss and illustrate the allowance method in this text. Even though companies carefully screen credit customers, they cannot eliminate all uncollectible accounts. Companies expect some of their accounts to become uncollectible, but they do not know which ones. The matching principle requires deducting expenses incurred in producing revenues from those revenues during the accounting period. The allowance method of recording uncollectible accounts adheres to this principle by recognizing the uncollectible accounts expense in advance of identifying specific accounts as being uncollectible. The required entry has some similarity to the depreciation entry in Chapter 3 because it debits an expense and credits an allowance, which is your contra asset account, the opposite. The purpose of the entry is to make the income statement fairly present the proper expense and the balance sheet fairly represent the asset. Uncollectible accounts expense, also called the doubtful accounts expense or bad debts expense, is an operating expense that the business incurs when it sells on credit. We classify uncollectible accounts expense as a selling expense because it results from the credit sales. Other accountants might classify it as an administrative expense because the credit department has an important role in setting credit terms. To adhere to the matching principle, companies must match the uncollectible accounts expense against the revenues it generates. Thus, an uncollectible account arising from a sale made in 2010 is a 2010 expense, even though this treatment requires the use of estimates. Estimates are necessary because the company sometimes cannot determine until 2008 or later which 2010 customer accounts will become uncollectible. Recording the uncollectible accounts adjustment. A company that estimates uncollectible accounts makes an adjusting entry at the end of each accounting period. It debits uncollectible accounts expense, thus recording the operating expense in the proper period. The credit is to an account called allowance for uncollectible accounts. As a contra account to the accounts receivable account, the allowance for uncollectible accounts reduces accounts receivable to the net realized value. Net realized value is the amount the company expects to collect from accounts receivable. When the firm makes the uncollectible accounts adjusting entry, it does not know which specific accounts will become uncollectible. Thus, the company cannot enter credits in either the accounts receivable control account or the customer's accounts receivable subsidiary ledger accounts. If only one or the other were credited, the accounts receivable control account balance would not agree with the total of the balances in the accounts receivable subsidiary ledger. Without crediting the accounts receivable control account, the allowance account lets the company show that some of its accounts receivable are probably uncollectible. To illustrate the adjusting entry for uncollectible accounts, assume a company has $100,000 of accounts receivable and estimates its uncollectible accounts expense for a given year at $4,000. The adjusting entry required at year end, you simply debit the uncollectible accounts expense for $4,000 and credit the allowance for uncollectible accounts. So what you originally have done, you have your accounts receivable account for $100,000, and you're saying that $4,000 of that is not going to be collected. So through the month, you have chosen $4,000 as that uncollectible amount and posted it to your allowance for uncollectible accounts. But you have to close that because it's a contra account. Therefore, you're closing it into the expense, and that's where the adjusting entry comes in. Okay? The debit to uncollectible accounts expense brings about a matching of expenses and revenues on the income statement. Uncollectible accounts expense is matched against the revenues of the accounting period. The credit to allowance for uncollectible accounts reduces the accounts receivable to their net realized value on the balance sheet. When the books are closed, the firm closes uncollectible accounts expense to income summary. It reports the allowance on the balance sheet as a deduction from accounts receivable as follows. Okay, so you have under current assets is where accounts receivable falls under. For the $100,000 is the amount of your accounts receivable less the allowance for uncollectible accounts, for a net of $96,000. Estimating uncollectible accounts use two basic methods. The first method is percentage of sales method, and it focuses on the income statement and the relationship of uncollectible accounts to sales. The second method, percentage of receivables method, focuses on the balance sheet and the relationship of the allowance for uncollectible accounts to accounts receivable. Percentage of sales method estimates uncollectible accounts from the credit sales of a given period. In theory, the method is based on a percentage of prior year's actual uncollected accounts to prior year's credit sales. When cash sales are small, or make up a fairly consistent percentage of total sales, firms base the calculation on total net sales. Since at least one of these conditions is usually met, companies commonly use total net sales rather than credit sales. The formula to determine the amount of the entry is as follows. Amount of journal entry for uncollectible accounts minus the net sales times percentage estimate as uncollectible. To illustrate this, assume that the Rankin Company's uncollectible accounts for 2008 sales were 1.1% of total net sales. A similar calculation for 2009 showed an uncollectible account percentage of 0.9%. The average for the 2 years is 1%. Rankin does not expect 2010 to differ from the previous 2 years. Total net sales for 2010 were $500,000, receivables at year-end were $100,000, and the allowance for uncollectible accounts had a zero balance. Rankin would make the following adjusting entry. On December 1st, they would debit uncollectible accounts expense for $5,000, and the allowance for uncollectible accounts they would credit for $5,000. And this entry is made to record the estimated uncollectible accounts. And this is what your T accounts, your accounts, would look like for the uncollectible accounts expense. You are zeroing, the balance before adjustment was zero. In December 31st, you have an adjustment of $5,000 for the allowance for uncollectible accounts, and it is expensed out as an adjustment for $5,000 under the expense account. Rankin reports uncollectible accounts expense on the income statement. It reports the accounts receivable less the allowance among current assets in the balance sheet as follows. So again, you have your accounts receivable for $100,000, less the allowance for uncollectible accounts of $5,000, and a net realized value of your accounts receivable is the $95,000. On the income statement, Rankin would match the uncollectible accounts expense against the sales revenues in the period. We would classify this expense as a selling expense since it is a normal consequence of selling on credit. The allowance for uncollectible accounts usually has either a debit or credit balance before the year-end adjustment. Under the percentage of sales method, the company ignores any existing balance in the allowance when calculating the amount of year-end adjustment, except that the allowance account must have a credit balance after adjustment. For example, assume Rankin's allowance account had $300 credit before adjustment. The adjusting entry would still be for $5,000. However, the balance sheet would show a $100,000 account receivable less a $5,300 allowance for uncollectible accounts, resulting in net receivables of $94,700. On the income statement, uncollectible accounts expense would still be the 1% of total net sales, which is $5,000.